Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
So despite last week's terrible, terrible podcast, we decided to do another one. And if you're still here after last week's, thank you. I got a little too drunk. I was a little too sick. I was a little too low blood energy or level. It was just, I don't know. It's very rare that I couldn't listen to it. I got so embarrassed listening to it. I was like, oh my, I can't even get through it.
Yeah, I'd just come back from a 5-day vacation and been on a train all night. So I was a little out of it. But I don't know. We talked for a while last week.
It went super long.
Yeah. I don't think this one's going to be as long.
Yeah. We haven't been playing very much. Not anything new anyway.
Yeah. But you know, I was thinking about it. I've been kind of reflecting on the last year and my gaming habits. And I think, you know, you and I had a conversation off the podcast about just media consumption, TV, movies, games, and just doing too much and experiencing too little. And I think I've been doing that. I've been playing too many games and having a very, very superficial experience with all of them. So I was thinking, I'm just going to pick some really good games and I'm going to get really into them. I'm going to spend a lot of time with them. And I think I chose the perfect game for that because I have not been able to put down Divinity Original Sin. Do you know what the deal is with the story? There's this thing called the Source, which is like this magical power.
You play as a Source Hunter, and I believe when this shit pops up, some kind of organization, which are like trans-dimensional beings like that, you know, when you go up into that thing. Like the other dimension.
Oh yeah, the end of time.
Yeah, the end of time. I think that's your like base of operations for the Source Hunters, and they just kind of overlook this whole thing. And you're there in, but it's something about a murder, and I guess Source was used for the murder, so that's why we're there checking it out. But that's pretty much all. And then after that, there's just so many quests and all these things going on. You really lose sight of the original quests. There's just so much.
There's a lot of side quests.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about that last week. I don't know how well we described it, but I guess we can reiterate it.
Well, you have to do them is the thing. You need that XP. You're dying for XP this whole game.
Yeah.
Like every
any fight you get into, anything that you can get XP from is a huge benefit. So, yeah, you really have to do them.
And I haven't played an RPG this hard in maybe ever. This is a really hard RPG.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
And the biggest difficulty that we pointed out last week is they don't give you quest markers. You don't just pull up your map and go, okay, I have to go here and turn this in or go here and kill this guy. You have to actually read some sort of document that you've been given or talk to people and read the dialogue. You have to figure it out for yourself. You actually have to use your brain.
Yeah. And it's not even like, you know, your journal is updated and in the journal it says, you know, go to the north part of town. No.
Yeah.
In the original, quest when he gave it to you, whoever it was, in somewhere in the four paragraphs of him talking to you, there's probably something about where. So you could go back to him and talk to him again,
yeah.
Or you could have read it the first time.
Yeah, and you really have to pay attention because it's easy to miss that. And not only that, but there's a quest later on where you will walk into an area and then one of the people in your party will say something. And that's an indication that this is where you need to do something to fulfill this quest. And if you miss that, if you just kind of breeze over whatever dialogue pops up quickly, which I often do, then you have really no way of knowing that this is where you need to use the scroll or whatever it was. So it does not take it easy on you. And I noticed that with the combat as well. The combat is, it forces you to really think and plan out your attacks and coordinate your attacks mm-hmm. and use things in conjunction with each other. It's tactical turn-based. It's like XCOM or any of those other games, which I really enjoyed and I didn't expect from this, but there's objects and elements like wind, fire, oil, all these different things. It could be raining.
Yeah.
All this affects the battleground. So in our game, we picked up a knight. Is it Medora? What is she?
Yeah, right? She's like a two-handed knight.
Yeah, we picked her up and Bear Doter, the ranger, ranged woman with a bow, which I picked up in my playthrough. But instead of Medora, I picked up
A rogue, right?
No, no, it was a mage. Not the rogue. I picked up... He's like a mage, I think. I don't know if that's his exact class, but he has air spells and water spells, which really work well together. So I can cast rain, make a puddle somewhere, and then electrify someone in that puddle, and anyone standing in that puddle gets stunned from electricity. And it's a really good combo.
There's a lot of things like that in this game you got to think about.
Yeah, everything interacts with each other. The poison and the fire. If you put out fire, if the ground's on fire and you put it out with rain, then it creates steam and you can't see through this steam. The visibility goes down. So all this stuff is really, like, I don't think other games go into that detail.
Right.
You know, that level of fidelity. Most games just say, you got an ice enemy? Well, he's weak against fire.
Or, right.
You know, vice versa. And that's about the limit that they go into and that type of interactiveness. But this game just takes it to a whole new level, something that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's really makes you think, really makes you think. It's not really outside the box. It's just logical stuff that
it's common sense.
Yeah, it's like, common sense, but you really got to think of, there's so many levels of it because there's eight guys on the field plus your four plus all their abilities. So that's where the complexity comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to plan things out. Like if I move this person here, they can do this and the other person can do that and it'll work this way. Like there's so much planning involved in this and there's so much to learn about this game. It almost reminds me of World of Warcraft, not nearly that level, but I've spent over 20 hours on this game, and God, like, I just keep learning new things over and over again. Like, not too long ago, I realized, you know that dashing move that one of your characters has?
Yeah, yeah.
That can knock him down? You can do that through several people.
Oh.
You can do that through, like, however many people you can hit. Like, it's got, like, a 10, 15 meter range.
Yeah, it's super far.
Yeah, so you can just plow a bunch of people down with that. But,
nice.
You know, little things like that I've been figuring out. But, yeah, I can see why GameSpot gave this the game of the year.
It's and they said they announced two more RPGs they're going to make off of the success of this one.
Wow.
So if it comes out with the same level of polish, then that'll be great.
Yeah, and I would like to I'd like to see them take this out of the fantasy realm and maybe go sci-fi or modern day.
Modern day RPG needs to be done more often. I guess people don't think that people will have fun role-playing as Bob down the street, but you're not Bob down the street. You're Bob down the street when aliens attack or some shit, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that would work as well. It sounds cool, and I'd like to see that, but I don't think the history of those types of games has been too good. There were a few. Earthbound on the Super Nintendo was one that took place in modern day, and also The Secret World. That's a modern-day MMO. Right.
Yep.
But I don't know. As many people respond to that as much. I'd just like to see something other than fantasy because I don't really care for that. But this game, God, I'm maybe on this playthrough 10, 15 hours in, and the average time to beat this game is 80 hours.
And that's not true 80 hours. It's more because, okay, to give you guys an example of how hard this fucking game is, Bobby and I were playing and We had picked up all the quests. This is adventure time. Let's go kill some shit. So we get out there and we basically, there's groups of mobs. It took us 2 hours to kill three groups of mobs, three different battles. It took us 2 hours just because we had to restart. Okay. What if you try this? Maybe if you come in from this side, because we're just getting worked over and over and over. And it didn't help that we didn't really know what we're doing. We were making our characters. That's what really hurt us.
Yeah, well, you know, the first playthrough is always a learning experience.
Yeah.
Now, do you think it's fair to call this an 80-hour game if a lot of those hours are just repeating something that you failed at?
Well, that's, I was thinking that it's 80 hours of actual playtime, and it's not counting all that time that you're...
I think it is. Well, I don't know. Like, if you were to play the game through without ever dying one time, like you just beat every boss, every mob on the first time you try... And you go through, do all the quests. Do you think that's a flat 80?
Yeah, with all the reading.
I don't know. See, on howlongtobeat.com, I think...
Does it go off their Steam?
It gives you a couple different things. Let's see. Divinity Original Sin. I like to vocalize things as I type them, like an old person.
I vocalize them too, but it's usually me asking how to spell it. Hey, how do you spell this?
Okay, so the main story is 61 hours. So that's like a speed run or just going through no side quests, just doing it vanilla. Main plus extra is 84 hours. Completionist, if you're doing absolutely everything, 103 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this is a long game, but it doesn't feel that long. Like, I'm enjoying it so much. When I see a movie that's 3 hours long or a game that's 50 plus hours, like, I get discouraged. I don't want to pick that up. But now that I'm actually involved in this game, I'm really enjoying it. And don't be surprised if I come back like the next couple weeks with nothing new to talk about, because I might be stuck on this for a while.
Well, that's the thing. If you get into a game, one of the things you could keep talking about is what's keeping you coming back. Besides, if you're doing it more than just, oh, I want to beat it. No, I'm discovering this, I'm discovering that. It's like this week I was going to talk about Far Cry again, but I was like, no, there's pretty much nothing new that I could actually talk about, except for maybe the size. It's way bigger than I thought it was.
Yeah, there's a lot to that game.
Yeah.
You know, we should probably talk about the comedy in this game too, because that's a big part of it. I feel like I heard about that, but I don't know, maybe I forgot it, but it's much more apparent to me now.
Yeah, I feel bad that we're skimming through it, because every time I do read, I chuckle. Yeah. Almost.
The back and forth between, you start out with two main characters, a woman and a guy. I don't know what their names are by default. The woman's name is Scarlett, so I named the guy Johansson. I had just finished watching Under the Skin, so it was on my mind. Yeah. but their dialogue back and forth is really funny, and I can't even put a finger on it. Like, it's your typical fantasy RPG, everything that you would expect from that, but they just kind of have fun with it. And it's not like rolling, falling off your chair kind of funny stuff. It's just like
humorous. Humor. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the best NPC I've ever seen, the cheese vendor.
Oh, dude, he's so funny. You spend a lot of time in the market because you have to buy this and buy that. And this is actual, like a voice actor. And he's like, he sounds like, what is the guy?
I don't know, but this is the part where we do our really bad impressions. Yeah. Just look up Divinity Original Sin Cheese Vendor on YouTube.
Nobody has more friends than the man with many cheeses.
Yeah, he's kind of high and nasally, like the Circus of Values clown from
Bioshock. Yeah, that's what it is.
Which is actually Ken Levine voices that.
Don't feel like cheese. That man excuses full of holes.
He's got one. What's his... my favorite line that he does is, he's got like three lines.
He's got three lines. And they don't get old.
The third one is, be the big cheese on your block with the wheel of the good stuff.
Yeah. one of the novel things in this game that I really enjoyed is when you get an exclamation mark over your head, which is no game does that. What am I supposed to do? Talk to myself? Well, you kind of do. Since you have two characters, you have to talk to, they have to interact with each other. And when you do, you have, you know, Bobby reads something and he can't see my options. And then I pick an option and then it goes back to him and I can't see his options. And it goes back and forth like this for maybe three or four times. And then depending on what happened in that interaction, you'll actually get stat boosts on how you did in that conversation.
Yeah. And I don't know how these stats play into it. It's more like personality traits. Like, are you compassionate, forgiving, cold-hearted, greedy, things like that. I don't know how those play into the game just yet.
I think they play in when you're doing like those paper, scissors, rock and stuff.
See, that's based off of charm, intimidation, and reason. And those are actually stats that you can upgrade on your character sheet. So I don't know if it has to do with that, but that is really cool. Like, I don't think I've seen a game do that before, where you get to choose a dialogue option and then it shows it to me and then I got to respond to it. And usually the options are like be a dick or, you know, be nice.
Right.
So, and depending on what you choose, that gives you, like plus one in some random personality trait. It seems.
Attitude.
Yeah, well, attitude is a part of the game. I think that's kind of your reputation with other people. I'm not even sure how that plays into the game either. There's so much about this game that I don't quite understand yet. It's like The reason I compared it to World of Warcraft is because that game, I would go to what, like wowhead.com or whatever the WoW wikis were, and I would just research information like, okay, what's the maximum number of like defense you need to max out your block and your, you know, shit like that. Like, you start crunching numbers in that game. There's so much to learn. And this game, I feel, has that to a certain degree as well.
Now, if you're an action guy and you really like shooting things and blowing up faces and shit like that, this is probably not the game for you. It is pretty slow paced. The combat is fun, but there's a lot of downtime in between combat.
Well, you know what? It varies, I've noticed. There's a big chunk of time at the beginning of the game where you're running around the town, talking to people, reading dialogue, going to another house. Kind of boring stuff, in my opinion. But then after that, there was a long period of time where I was just going through mobs. There's one part where you go into the Black Cove, and that's just mob after mob. It almost felt like an instance in World of Warcraft. What was that one? You do it. It's like the first one you do if you're on the Alliance. It's like the pirate ship.
Never done an Alliance. I don't know.
I can't believe I forgot it. I'm starting to forget things from World of Warcraft. That's probably a good sign.
I forgot the name of the Barons the other day. I was like, fuck, how did you remember that? Forget that.
But it was really cool because I felt like I was going through mob, through mob, through mob, and then there's a boss fight at the end. And I really liked that.
Is there a better round for you to rest in, though?
No. Oh, my God, man. Yeah. We were constantly going back to town to sleep in the bed to heal. I've got 3 people in my party that can heal.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just heal up after. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know how we're going to make it through our playthrough.
I told you we should probably restart or turn down the difficulty. But nobody wants to admit they're a bitch.
Yeah. There are a few things that I don't like about this game, minor grievances. One of them is the movement. In a lot of these tactical RPG games, it's tile-based. You can see the tiles, and it's very clear where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. This game, there's no visible tiles, so a lot of times I'm trying to maneuver around a puddle of poison. And I'm not quite sure if the path I've chosen is going to get around that, but if I play it safe and go further around it, then I use up more valuable action points. So little things like that, I don't know. Maybe that's not even, maybe that just adds to...
Yeah, it's kind of like a thing. It's not really good or bad, because in real life, you think, you know, that you could take a precarious path.
Yeah,
Or you could risk it, yeah.
Yeah, it's an element of chance. So yeah, maybe that's not really a complaint. But one thing that I do think is a valid complaint is it can be difficult. Now, there's a lot of misclicks for me. When I'm trying to target a character, I talked about this a little bit last week too, but when I try to target a character and like shoot at him with a ranged bow and arrow or magic spell, the characters have kind of a sway to them when they're idle, depending on what it is. They kind of rock back and forth, or sometimes the camera gets taken control of and just moved away somewhere. So there have been plenty of times where that's happened and I've clicked on something and moved in the wrong location or clicked on the wrong thing. And I don't know why they've never done this, but I feel like these games need an undo button, like one that you can hit like 1 or 2 seconds after you do something, just for those oh shit moments, you know, like a control Z. I don't know.
Or a right click. Does this game even use right click? That would work. Anyway, but yeah, that's the biggest problem with this game.
Yeah.
I've misclicked enemies. You know, nothing is moving during, and so it should be really easy to click on an enemy. I've missed that so many times and just walk into the puddle of poison, the flaming poison. No, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so, exactly. And it's like, do you just load your previous save because you've totally screwed up your entire engagement with
It's not fucking terrible. It just happens, you know, once every other fight, but that's enough, you know.
I feel it happens more in this game than other games that I've played. This is kind of a problem I've had in Shadowrun, Dragonfall, and just about any tactical RPG game I've played. But in Divinity, it seems to be way more of a problem. And I think that's mostly due to the fact that... just the targeting is kind of wonky. You know, the character moves around a little bit. And not only that, but sometimes you kind of have to just move your mouse in a weird location to target the person that you want. Because there's a lot of line of sight stuff that I feel just isn't quite accurate.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, this is an amazing game. It's got a ton of options, a ton of video options if you're playing it on the computer. Like, quite a few. This is actually a really good looking game.
It's unfortunate that it got on our radar a little too late for us to put in our favorites. I mean, not that it would have been my favorite, but I would have definitely mentioned it.
No, definitely. And I was thinking about that too, because when we talked about our favorite games of the year, I was trying to make it very clear that, you know, this is out of the games that I've played this year.
Right.
This was my favorite one. I'm not saying this is the best game of the year, because there's so many good ones that I haven't played, and this was one of them, and I knew it. And yeah, this would probably be number three. I mean, yep. Number one, my favorite was Wolfenstein. Number two was Shadow of Mordor. And then third, at the time, I probably would have just thrown in South Park, but I don't know. At this point, Divinity, I'm really liking this. I'm going to spend a lot more time on this.
See, I don't really see you doing the 90 hours and then again with me, jerk.
I don't know. See, that's not only is this such a long game, but they kind of coerce you into playing multiplayer, which I don't know if that's a good thing, because it's hard enough to find the time to play this game. It's got to be incredibly hard to find for two people to find common time to play this
game. You got to like live with the person. If only I had another PC gamer at my house.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch never wants to play it with me.
I don't know why.
He bought it for us. He's like, hey, man, I bought it. Let's play. And then, you know, we only played up until the point right before it got really fun. So I think that has a lot to do with it. No, go ahead. Have fun with your bad self. I'll start a new game with him.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I am enjoying this so much that I wouldn't mind playing it again with different characters and, you know, just different classes.
Yeah.
Trying something new. I mean, we could try to continue our game, but I don't know. I don't know about that rogue.
Maybe we'll lower the difficulty.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I still feel like I haven't figured out the rogue. But this got, just to wrap it up, this got an 87 on Metacritic, which I think should have been higher. 92% on Steam. Out of 8,500 reviews on Steam, 92% of them were good. GameSpot gave it Game of the Year. Shadowrun Dragonfall got like 92. I didn't like that nearly as much as this. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about all I got for Divinity Original Sin. What have you been playing?
I haven't had a lot of time this week. That's why we're a little stretching out what we do have. But I was playing a lot of Binding of Isaac Rebirth, of course. Not anything new. But no, I'm actually playing with my girl quite a bit. And I've never had this in my whole... I'm 36 years old. I've never had a girl that liked video games. And she's not faking it. And she's not like, hey, let's play to try to make me happy. She's like really enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So like we got to... It's gotten really hard lately too. I got to the point where now after you kill the last boss, now you go to a new spot. There's this first time I've ever been to the cathedral. And then we got to Isaac. You actually fight Isaac. And he's fucking super hard. We didn't kill him. But, you know, a couple times after we were playing, like, out and about, I was like, what do you think about it? She's like, fucking Binding of Isaac, bugged me. I was like, what are we going to do about killing Isaac? And I was like, wow, I think I got a gamer on my hands now.
So you play as Isaac, but you have to play against him as well?
Like, how does that work? He's just like an enemy, a super powered version of yourself.
Yeah, that's a weird game.
Yeah, it's super weird. Have you ever had that, Bob?
No, not really. I play games with my girlfriend sometimes. I think she kind of does it to appease me, but
right.
No, I don't think I've ever had a girl that was genuinely interested in playing games, at least to the level that I was. Do you think this could be like a jumping off point? Like, this will open her up to more games that you guys could play together or that?
Well, yeah, it's already been happening. The other day she was staying at home or whatever, and she was playing Little Big Planet, like, all day long on her own at her house. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, she really likes that. So I think I ended up getting Battle Block Theater, and she loves that game. She likes it even more than Little Big Planet because it's so, well, it's funny. Yeah. And the co-op is great. It's set up for co-op, you know?
Yeah. God, Will Stamper, the narrator in that, so funny. There's some great YouTube videos of him out there.
And then I mentioned this already, but Rayman Origins, we played that together. But that's the third best of these three options that we have to play together. She's really good at Binding of Isaac. Like, she does really well. And so it got me to thinking, could gaming with your girl be, or with your significant other, be good for the relationship, right? So I think it might be better than like doing other fun stuff together because, so if you watch a movie together, you're sure they're on your side, but they're not really, you're not interacting with each other. You're both enjoying the same thing. You might turn and say, mention what you think about this or that. Like I pause movies all the time to, so we can discuss what's going on. Yeah. So there is that, but we are not interacting and we're not working together towards something. It's almost like, I know it sounds stupid, but it's kind of like a team building exercise, right? If you're working together, I'm finding out things about her that I had no idea existed. You know, two heads are always better than one, right? So if she figures something out that I didn't figure out, I'm always like slightly impressed or like, or if she, you know, gets out of a tight spot, I'm like, oh fuck, good job. And she's like, yeah, awesome. And it's just, it's a really good interaction. I think it might be really good. It's unfortunate that more, females don't, play with their guys. Cause I think it would be really good for every relationship. Yeah. It can't be bad unless it gets competitive, I guess.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying about it being interactive because if you watch a movie or a TV show or something, it's kind of like you're building common ground. You have something to talk about later.
Right.
But a video game, I don't know, the ultimate, I mean, if you have a conversation with someone,
yeah,
then that's, you know, that's the ultimate level of interaction. But if you're playing a video game, it's maybe not as much, but there's definitely something going on there.
Yeah.
Something
I mean, if you can strategize for, instead of talking about whether or not Barbra Streisand played a good role in that movie and you're at the grocery store and you're talking about how are we going to kill Isaac next time we see him? I don't know. It just seems more important to me, maybe because I'm a gamer or whatever, but I'm really excited. This is a whole new thing to me. I didn't even know this existed. I thought she was trying to appease me for the first few times. And then now I'm like, she either completely fooled me or, she's really having a good time as well.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, so what do you want to do? She's like, let's play Binding of Isaac. Oh, fuck. Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to twist my arm.
Nice. I wonder if she'll get into other stuff on her own, like, cause Binding of Isaac, I don't know. I think because you play it with the controller, I still kind of regard that as console-ish or something. But I don't know. Like, it always perplexed me when I saw, I don't know, like chicks playing, World of Warcraft. Like, that's a heavy game to get into.
Yes.
That's something that you sit at your computer for a long period of time. I don't know why I keep going back to that game today.
Yeah, and you know, I'd hate to say it, but I never played with a girl that was as good as the guys were. It's just so much of an investment to play WoW.
Yeah.
They were good enough to maybe, you know, for sure group up and play, but like a heavy duty, high level raid, usually the females just weren't to that level. I don't think they were just as invested.
I knew a few, but I don't think there was nearly as many female players as male players.
Right.
In that game. But I think that might be different now. I mean, my prime time in WoW was 2007.
You always talk about it like it was back in Vietnam or something. It's like,
it was a rough patch, man. It's a rough patch. All right. Well, one other thing, it's not a game, but I wanted to bring it up. Something I came across, somebody mentioned it to me, something called Idle Master. This is actually a software program by Jay Shackles, the same guy who made Enhanced Steam. This is something that you can just download. It's really small. You log into Steam with it and it just idles your games for you. You don't have to install the game, but it pretends that it's playing the game for you. So you get your card drops and it just goes for however long it needs to till it gets the drops. It checks back like every 15 minutes to see if all the drops were taken. And if you're down to one card left to drop, it checks like every 5 minutes. But it's great. You don't need to, like, I don't know. This is probably not appealing to a lot of people. Only people who are
so likely. Does it farm all your games at once?
Yeah, one at a time, though.
Oh, one at a time. I see.
But if you just let it run and it turns off when it's done, it switches games when it's got all the card drops from one or the other. I mean, it's probably worth it even if you aren't into this because you could just get all your card drops and sell them for 10 cents on Steam.
It's going to be hard for you to keep up now with all these people cheating.
Yeah, well, that raises the big question, you know, is this cheating? I don't know. I don't think it even really matters. I usually idle my games anyway, but I would install them and let them run. I would, like, remote into my computer to check on them.
You don't even have to install, huh?
Yeah, on this you don't have to install. I don't even think you need Steam installed on the computer. I'm not sure exactly on that one though, but yeah, it works great. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Cool.
One other thing. So we got the time. I'll just bring up some random stuff.
Yeah. You okay, Bobby? How you been doing? Want to talk about your family?
Yeah. Well, I was telling this to my girlfriend the other night, but I told her, I started off this way. I think I got a stalker.
Uh-oh.
That's what I told her.
What'd she say?
I liked it. I like to
throw
a big headline out there just to get him hooked. how long ago did they do that thing where you can watch people play games on Steam? Like a month ago?
Yeah, about a month ago.
So I have mine set to, if you go to my Steam profile and I'm playing a game, there's a watch button. You just click it and you can watch whatever I happen to be playing at that time. And there's one person that is constantly watching me, like all the time for long periods of time.
Should I guess who it is?
I don't know who it is.
Oh, I see.
It shows you who the person is, what their name is, and links their Steam profile. But the problem is, when you first create a Steam profile, it doesn't give you a username. It uses whatever your email address is, minus the @whatever.com. So, and then you can log into Steam when you actually download the client and set up your profile and give yourself a username after that.
Right.
This person has not done that yet. So it's their email address minus the @whatever@gmail.com. And the name
is... So about as anonymous as it can be.
Yeah, exactly. But the name is... This is what cracked me up. The name is Regina Falange and then a bunch of numbers. And I didn't know what the hell this meant, so I Googled it, right?
Right.
And apparently it is an alias that Phoebe from Friends used. It was a fake name that she used in the show.
The plot thickens.
Yeah. So obviously it's a Friends fan.
Right.
Probably
it has to
chick.
Be heavy. Ooh, you think it's a female?
Well, if she's naming herself at, Regina Falange, a female.
No. You're thinking this all wrong, dude. Stalkers. You gotta start with stalker, not with Friends. Stalkers will, a lot of the time, pretend to be female so that they can get in closer to their victim.
Yeah, maybe. You think this person's pretending to be a female?
Well, yeah.
This person hasn't tried to interact with me at all. I mean, I haven't tried to talk to them. They can hear me if I got my mic on, but I haven't tried to talk to them at all. But I don't know. I just thought that was weird. I'm not a Friends fan. I've never really even watched the show, but apparently that's where it comes from. Like a decade ago.
This is so strange. Why don't you try to talk to her?
I don't know. I feel like it's a bot. Like it's not even a real person. Mm. Like at this point. Cause it pops up like a lot. It's really strange. I don't know. So
Regina, hit us up and follow us on Twitter.
Maybe it's a listener. I don't know. At first I was getting paranoid and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if my ex-girlfriend's talking to me. But then I was like, all right.
Calm down, Bobby.
If my ex-girlfriend wanted to watch me play hours and hours of video games, we probably wouldn't have broken up.
You know? Yeah.
So I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. I thought that was weird.
That is weird.
More on that to come.
If I'm doing a solo podcast next week, we all know who to track down.
Yep.
Falange?
Falange. Yeah. I don't know.
Regina Falange.
Yeah. Murderer.
There's
a lampshade in someone's house. All right. So I guess we'll talk about some news. There really hasn't been a whole lot of news, but we got a few things.
Yeah, Steam hit the most concurrent users ever, which 8.4 million, which is good. I mean, more PC gamers means better PC games generally. But what really was weird to me was the top five games. It was like Dota 2 was so much. It was like 875,000, right?
Yeah.
And then drops down to like 366,000 for CSGO. And then it drops down significantly again to TF2, which is like 90,000 or something like that. But then it's Football Manager 2014.
It's a huge game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
2014 or 2015.
Or whatever it is. But globally, it must be doing huge numbers, right?
Yeah, it's an incredibly popular game. And I don't see what's so special about that game. I'm not a big soccer fan, but I loaded it up once just to see what the deal was. Right. And it's totally like a really cut and dry Excel spreadsheet, kind of like managing a soccer team deal.
Even less graphically intense than like Prison Architect, would you say?
Oh, yeah. It's like fantasy soccer.
Right.
It's like, you know, like one of those. It's just a bunch of statistics and numbers.
I know a lot of people who play FIFA that way. They just play manager mode. You know, that's a very important or a very popular thing to do.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, you get to the end, you can watch the full game, like the important games. You could watch the game and watch how your players do and enjoy a game that you are managing, right? Quotation marks.
Yeah.
But instead of just seeing numbers go around, I would think that maybe it's better.
I don't know. Well, a lot of people play fantasy football and stuff like that. So I think it's just a numbers game. And a lot of people like that. And I'm not a big soccer fan either.
No.
Are you?
No, not at
Everybody
all.
Everybody pretends to care about it like every 4 years.
Motherfucker. But anyway, number five, goddamn Skyrim. Coming in. Still hanging in there with 60,000 players.
And that's not even a multiplayer game.
No.
Like, that's impressive.
And it's been, I've had the itch lately. I really want to, I have a lot of free time this week, so this week coming up, so I'm gonna probably get into Felcreth or whatever that that's a player made mod is, the really big one that's supposed to be bigger than the original game. So yeah, and he's the guy who ended up getting a job at Sony because of his mad skills.
Damn, Skyrim. I know Rust was pretty high on that list for a while. Rust and DayZ, I don't know how those are doing now. A lot of all those open world survival crafting games are pretty high up on there.
They're on their way out, though. I think the whole genre. I think there'll probably be something on top. You know, Bobby, you were saying how like the one for Sony.
H1Z1?
Yeah. You're like, at least it's going to be polished Sony product, you know, when it comes out. And I saw that they're going to do an early release for it.
Oh, man.
So there's going to be like a beta.
We'll see, man.
None of these games ever come out of beta, man. And I feel like Rust's beta got restarted once they went to 2.0 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, the reboot. It's so buggy. It's like it went back. Graphically, it made a huge, huge leaps.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as gameplay and just whether it works or not. Just
yeah, and there's
works.
Like, I don't know, maybe there weren't any to begin with, but I felt like there were no character animations. Someone would go chop down a tree, and you just see a person walk up to a tree, stand there for like...
Stroke it.
Yeah, stand there for like 10 seconds, and the tree would be gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. I'm so tired of those games. Quality gaming. Right, that's my motto for 2015. I'm playing quality games.
Like Divinity.
Yep.
Quality, right?
Yep. Nothing but the best. You're talking Metacritic 85 and up.
Well, it's tough, too, because, you know, you want to play these indie titles that have these quirky little mechanics that are cool little ideas.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you might have to put up with some bugginess or some bad graphics in order for you to see some novel gameplay.
Yeah.
But which I'm always down for, man. I support fucking indie titles all day, every day.
Yeah, if there's buzz around something, I'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. One more thing I want to mention about Steam. Apparently, these gems are a permanent thing now. During the holiday sale and the auctions that they had, you could trade in any Steam item, emoticons, backgrounds, even cards. You could trade those in for gems. And you could either sell those gems on the market or use them to buy booster packs for cards or... During an auction, you could bid on stuff.
Can you pass those things around? You can pass those things around, huh?
The gems?
Yeah. So why haven't you given me any?
I don't have any. I spent all mine. I spent all mine on booster packs.
Right.
I was really busy during the holiday sale.
And the booster packs do what? I'm sorry. Give you cards again, right?
Give you cards.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. But any emoticons that you have doubles of or you just don't want or backgrounds, you could trade those in. And get gems. I think they're selling 1,000 gems for like 50 cents right now. So you make a little bit of money.
I'm about as interested as this if you were telling me you picked up soccer instead of playing. Cool, man. So you kicked the ball where? Yeah. No, go ahead. That's awesome, man.
All right.
Sorry, I'm a dick. Okay. But I am extremely interested in your Steam level. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah, that's getting up there. But so is everybody else's. I'm at 329 right now, and Even though I jumped during the holidays, I jumped 30 or 40 levels, which is a lot for that, for the level that I'm at. I dropped like two or three places in the ranking.
Dang.
So I'm like 23rd, 24th right now.
Dang. It's okay. You'll come back next year as the reluctant hero.
Somebody, the guy, Palm Desert, who has the highest level and has had that for quite some time now, he must have dropped thousands of dollars. He is now level 569.
Wow. He's going to stay right there. That's a nice number. Sounds nice.
Yeah, it sounds good. And what happens every time someone gets to a new bracket, every time you go 100 levels, they change the icon. But whenever he jumps to a new bracket like that, like to the 500s, Steam hasn't made an icon yet. So now it's just this blank circle.
Hmm.
So they'll eventually make something.
Cool. Twitter contest?
Yeah, let's move on into announcements. This is going to be a really short one.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Twitter. Thank you for everybody who joined and followed and stuff. I did a random number generator, and then I found out whether or not that person followed me. And the winner is Dandy94. Congratulations, Dandy94. He's going to get a Steam card. I also said that I was going to be doing a contest. I believe I said I was going to do it today or tomorrow. But I'm going to push it a little bit. I'm going to wait till this episode comes out and more people will know about it. Basically, I'm going to do one of those contests through Twitter where all you have to do is retweet the contest and follow me, which you already do, and you're entered. So you retweet it, it spreads, and the bigger it gets, it doesn't matter. And then whoever retweets it, I will be giving an additional Steam card to.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. So that's we had like four of these things to give away. So that was one of our contests. The other contest was the invitation contest. If you send out a bunch of invites for our Steam group and, those people accept, whoever has the most accepts, will win a $20 Steam gift card. And that's going to be closing midnight tonight. So.
Yeah, that was, pretty awesome. Worked out really well.
We got a lot of new members. And it was a close race. It was going back and forth between two or three people a lot, but, we will announce that winner probably on Tuesday when this comes out.
Cool. You got anything else?
Nope. It's a short one. We're making up for last
week. Where are we at?
We're at about 40 minutes.
Cool. Sounds good.
Good place to end it.
Close it out with some fucking titties.